You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
This Pet Doctor show is a continuation of my adventures in Newfoundland, Canada. Hi, I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz. I'll be speaking with two of the province's champion breeders of the Newfoundland Dog and Labrador Retriever. These animals are such an important part of their culture that if you visit St. John's Harborside Park, you'll find two life-size bronze statues of the province's iconic mascots. I also sat down with a local shelter veterinarian to discuss the challenges and joys of practicing medicine in the oldest city in North America. You might ask yourself, what do Peter Pan and Napoleon have in common? They were both saved by big, brawny, brave Newfoundland dogs. These gentle giant breed dogs originated in Newfoundland and are still one of the official greeters to travelers that come to this Canadian province. They have a unique history and some talents you may have never heard of. Envision them jumping out of helicopters in Italy to save drowning victims. The panting you hear in the background during this first segment isn't me trying to control my excitement, but it was pretty exciting, but rather Jib, the champion Newfie owned by my guest and breeder, Ted Langan.
So, my name is Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and I happen to be in St. John's, Newfoundland, and right in front of me is a Newfoundland dog that is gorgeous, and the Newfie's owner, and you are?
I'm Ted Langan.
Ted. And tell me a little bit about who this gorgeous dog is that we're looking at right now.
Well, this is Jib, and Jib is 5 years old, and she's a Newfoundland dog. She was born and bred in Newfoundland, and she's, about 130 pounds.
Now, is that pretty normal for a female?
Well, she's in good shape. She's exercised every day, and she eats properly. You know, and she sleeps at the end. I have three of them, so they rotate the end of the bed all night, so there's always one down there.
And you have a large bed.
I've got a large bed, and, you know, something there, part of the family.
So how'd you get into Newfoundland? Because, number one, you said you haven't been here in Newfoundland, and we can go all through where Newfoundland dogs came from, their description, their health issues, etc. Because the people that are listening right now are the general pet owners who maybe go, Newfoundland, I think I've heard about them, but not really sure what about dogs. So have you always been into Newfoundland?
About the last 15 years I've been into Newfoundland dogs. I was into Golden Retrievers before then. And I think I got a little disenchanted with the breed because it was overbred. And it's similar to the Irish Setters years ago. You know, they just overbred them, and they became too popular, and they weren't what they were supposed to be. And when I came here, actually, my first Newfoundland dog came from New Brunswick. And I brought him here, and, you know, something, the breeder now is in Newfoundland, so just fell in love with the breed.
It's a gorgeous breed. It's considered a giant breed.
Yes.
So they, with the name Newfoundland, you would gather that it came from here, but all of a sudden you're looking at Newfoundland, the small island. I understand there's a little controversy, something about where they originated was from. Was it the Vikings that brought over their big black bear dog? Was it from the Portuguese who made it all the way up here with their Portuguese mastiff? What's the lineage of it?
Well, you know, something from what I've understood, it's the Vikings had an influence on it, as did the mastiffs.
Okay.
You know, they're a large breed, and, you know, they have a similar size to a St. Bernard.
And they look very much like a St. Bernard.
They do. And there's four different colors of Newfoundland dogs. There's black.
Which is kind of the typical, most
they're
people
typical.
Think of, right?
Then there's black and white, which are the Lanciers.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's brown, and there's gray. Now, the only two dog colors that are accepted by the Canadian Kennel Club are the black and the Lanciers. The brown and the gray aren't accepted.
Oh, interesting.
So,
now, doing a little bit of research, the Lanciers, that actually was named after a English artist, is that
yes,
correct?
Who did a portrait of a Lancier dog.
It's a good way to get your name onto, yeah, you know, a particular color pattern of dog. I like that.
Yeah.
So you're saying, how big is Nib again?
Jib is about 130 pounds.
And so that is stamp fairly typical?
Well, she's in good shape. She's probably maybe 5 pounds heavier than I'd like her to be, but you know something?
Honey, you carry it well. Nobody can see.
She carries it well, exactly.
And how about big are the males typically?
Males are about 15 to 20 pounds heavier.
Okay.
Yeah.
And size-wise? What I love about her is that you can just be standing up, put your hand down, and you can love her. You don't have to scoot all the way down on the ground to get to her. How tall is she?
She's about 26 inches at the shoulder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good size baby. I also saw, I guess there was one Newfie that was about 200 pounds and 6 feet long. It's like, that must have been huge.
Yeah, that's, you know, something that's a dog that is not very well in the standard, I guess you'd say. You know, that's an extreme. You know, their bones and their bone structures aren't meant to carry that much weight.
With Newfoundlands, I know they have the history, as I understand, is that the Newfoundland fishermen wanted a dog that could help bring in the nets. Mm-hmm. Is that, what was their purpose, and what are they doing now?
You know, so they're water rescue dogs. And, you know, that was the original intent, because they could go in the ocean, and they'll go through the ice for a swim, and, they, you know, they basically float like a cork.
You think a dog this large, how can it float? And you look at this heavy coat and you think, oh my goodness, it would get so weighted down with water. What makes them such good water rescue dogs?
Because they have an inner coat and an outer coat, and they never get wet to the skin. And once the coat gets wet, it almost seals itself. So the air inside them holds them up. And they don't have the traditional dog paddle. Their shoulders go out when they swim.
Huh, so it's kind of like doing a breaststroke?
Exactly.
My granddaughter's visiting with me here in St. John's, Newfoundland, and she's a swimmer, and I think one of her favorite strokes is the breaststroke, too. So, see, you're just like her. Very good. Let's see, some of the famous dogs, I was really kind of surprised, probably all of us have watched Peter Pan,
yeah,
and the big dog they have there, Nana. That's actually a Newfoundland.
That was a Newfoundland dog, yeah.
Are there other well-known...
You know something, there was on, was it the book The Call of the Wild?
Uh-huh.
He had a Newfoundland dog. Robert Kennedy had a Newfoundland dog.
Lyndon Baines Johnson, I understand, yeah, had one, and so did Ulysses S. Grant.
Yeah.
Like something to do with being such loyal dogs, maybe that's why politicians
need to
surround
themselves.
And you know
what, they're a big dog. And I think it was about 5 years ago, a Newfoundland dog won the Westminster Dog Show as the best in show.
They are fabulous. Do they make a good family dog?
They do, but they're very loyal, and they do take a lot of work. So often, you know, somebody will have a Newfoundland dog, and they have to realize, you know, there has to be a balance between the dog and the children. You know, so
they're as big as a child.
Yeah, exactly. They'll knock kids down, and they'll eat toys, and you know. For a young family, they're probably not that good, but for, you know, an older family, they're probably excellent.
What are some of the pros of having it? So you say they're a loyal dog. They're good, it seems like, for protection.
No, they're terrible for protection.
All right.
Other than their size, you know, if you went in my house at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'd just step over them. You know, they're not a very, they don't get startled easily. And usually dogs that are protective or get startled when they hear a noise, uh-huh, or hear a sound or whatever.
You're calm and kicked back.
They're
dog,
calm,
huh?
And, yeah. But their size would be a deterrent. Besides that, no, they're not a good protection dog.
I noticed we were talking about being related to St. Bernards, and I have several clients that come into the practice with St. Bernards, and they come with a dog, and they come with a towel to constantly wipe themselves off, and the dog, because it's drooling.
Right.
Are they big droolers also?
Actually, mine are all dry mouth.
Oh, nice.
Which they don't drool. Well, they do drool if they're exercising a lot, but on a normal occasion, they don't drool, because somewhere in the breeding, they bred the jowls tighter, and they don't get the...
Which is really nice when they shake their head so it doesn't go flying.
And it's hanging off the ceiling. Yeah, yeah.
What are some of the health issues that they have? Because you look at a dog like this going, oh my goodness, you know, it's gorgeous, and I want one, but I always like it when people do their homework beforehand. So what are some of the concerns?
You know, something, the biggest concern with this breed would be letting it get overweight. You know, the bone structure is not meant to carry excess weight. So that would probably be number one as far as, you know, if you get it from a reputable breeder, you know, the hips and the shoulders have been certified for the parents. So, you know, you have less chance of getting a birth defect, hip dysplasia. But normally, you know, something, there is some problems with their eyes as far as the droopiness on their eyes, but that's usually corrected very easy. The heavy coat, sometimes if you don't do the proper grooming, the coat could get matted and cause skin irritation. So.
You have to make sure you have a good vacuum cleaner at the house.
Yeah, the Dyson is excellent.
This is a paid political announcement for Dyson.
Yeah.
So, longevity. Here you have this fabulous animal you've put so much time, effort, and love into. What's the typical lifespan for them?
Well, you know, they say 8 to 10 years, but, you know, 12 to 14 is if you keep them thin and active. And they, when they hit 9, they really slow down. And instead of trying to make them walk 2 miles, you know, you have to just make sure they walk a little bit.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Keeping active. I know one of the things I saw doing the research was a newfie being dropped out of a helicopter for the Italian water rescue.
They're water rescue dogs. They'll actually instinctively go in the water and take you by the shoulder or arm and without breaking the skin and bring you to shore.
That is great. Oh, was, I guess, the Titanic? Supposedly one of the first officers had a Newfoundland?
Yeah, and from what I heard, it swam beside one of the rescue boats until it was rescued or, you know, found another ship. They're unbelievable in the water.
Now, have you trained your dog to get into
They go in for a swim, but they're not trained to rescue. They would do it just instinctively.
But Jib has never been put in that situation?
No.
But you could do it, huh, Jib? Yes, yeah. You're gorgeous. And also, on the same idea of rescue, Napoleon Bonaparte, supposedly, as he was escaping from the Isle of Elba, had a newfie that was helping him escape.
Oh, yeah.
Little bits of information. I mean, they have so much history associated with them. History. Knowing that we're here in St. John's, I was reading something about the St. John's dog and Newfoundland. Is there a relationship?
St. John's dog is, I've never really heard that phrase, but I think that reflects being a Newfoundland dog.
Newfoundland dog.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate this very much. This is great information on Newfoundlands. And again, this is Jib, and you are?
Ted,
thank you so much. I think my listeners have learned a lot today about Newfies, and they are fabulous dogs. Do your homework. If you want to take this lover into your home, it's definitely larger than most children, and will be much, probably as loyal as many
children.
Yes,
absolutely.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
So if you aren't in the market for a giant breed with which to share your bed, but would prefer an equally amazing animal, stay tuned after this break to learn about the other emblematic canine of this part of the world, the Labrador Retriever.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome!
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
It's dinner time in America, where more pet parents trust PetSmart for natural and expert-recommended foods than any place else. And now, we've added more than 100 new varieties to our already wide selection of your favorite brands, like Simply Nourish, Authority, Wellness, Science Diet, and more. Do what's best for your pet. At PetSmart, happiness in store.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com to find out this week's coupon code and save up to 30% on food, treats, toys, and more. And get free shipping on orders of $49. Go to PetSmartDeal.com. PetSmartDeal.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Go to any dog park and you'll find them chasing balls, romping with great abandon, and charming treats from their owners. Labrador Retrievers are one of the world's most popular breeds. They can fill myriad of roles, from being a guide dog for the blind to couch potatoes for the retiree. Labs seem to be able to do it all. I have the pleasure of speaking with Tony Moores, one of the owners of Land and Sea Labradors of Newfoundland, Canada.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and I am in Newfoundland, St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, and I am here with...
Tony Moores.
Tony Moores?
Yep.
And who is this gorgeous dog that we're with?
This is Keeper.
And Keeper is not just a normal, gorgeous black lab. Tell us a little bit about her.
Keeper is, well, she's almost 5 years of age. She's one of my breeding, so, and she's also a show dog.
Just any kind of show dog. You're being very, very
modest,
very modest.
Well, she's the number one Labrador in the history of Canadian dog shows for best showman. So we have a very special girl here right now. So.
And how many best of shows has she?
She has 19 best of shows.
19. So she started just as a teeny baby doing this.
Yeah, 6 months of age, we started showing her. And the way the show thing works, you have to get 10 points and then under three different judges. So the first weekend that she was out, she ended up getting 14 points. So I knew early along I had a special girl here. So
being in Newfoundland, and Newfoundland Labrador, one of the provinces of Canada, I would get this feeling that Labradors are from this area. I was talking to our previous guest who had the Newfoundland dog and asking a little bit about the St. John's dog. So I believe there's a relationship. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Tony?
The Newfoundland dog was known as the St. John's dog, and over time, the early settlers bred the Newfoundland dog to a spaniel, field spaniel dogs that came from Europe, and the Labrador initially was known as the lesser St. John's water dog.
Lesser not because it's not as good a dog, it's just a different body style.
That's correct. It's smaller in shape and size, less hair, and eventually it went on to become the Labrador Retriever.
And what's fascinating, describe a Labrador. I think everyone knows what they are because they are such a popular dog.
Yeah.
And if I know correctly, it's Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States, and I think someplace else.
England.
Yeah. It's the most popular dog.
It's the number one registered breed in those countries that you've named. Yes. Just to describe them they're about anywhere from 22 to 24 inches at the shoulders. An ideal weight for a female should be from 78 to 82, 83 pounds, and a male would be from probably 80 to 87, 88 pounds. Very lovable, excellent temperament, great family pet. I often describe my dogs as 85-pound lap dogs because they just want to be up in your arms. I guess that's why they're so popular with families. As a breeder, a lot of my puppies go to young families with small children, and from all reports, the pups fit in quite well. I'm not surprised because of the temperament of the breed.
Now, talking to the Newfoundland breeder, so we know that Ted said this is a water rescue dog. It was a hauling dog, big dog with that heavy coat. But now with Labradors having the short coat, not as dense and thick, I had a black lab and still that vacuum cleaner needed to come out much more often than it did.
Yeah.
What's their purpose in life besides being the lap dog? What were they bred for?
They're solely bred for a hunting dog. What I mean by that is people use them to retrieve fowl, and mainly ducks. And they could retrieve on land or on the water. And in actual fact, there is testing that you can do on your dog to get titles on them if you wanted to go down that route as well. But their main purpose is retrieving.
And what makes them so good at being in the water and retrieving?
Well, they're powerful swimmers. The coat that they have, even though it looks like they only have a single coat, they have an undercoat as well, which keeps them warm. And their feet have huge web feet in them, so they're great for paddling. And like they're just powerful in the water.
I know when I had my black lab puppy initially going, I just thought all puppies wanted to jump in the water and play, and it's like, took him a little bit of time to get used to it, but once he got in there, it was almost impossible to get him out. The color variations, I know them. Correct me if I'm wrong. Black was the first one, then came yellows, then came chocolate.
That's
correct. About a little genesis of the color variations.
Yeah. You know, black is the dominant color, and from that, like I know what we do genetic testing, so... you know, it's BY, BYC, and, you know, I know when I breed the dogs, I know what colors to expect. When you look at the percentage chart, some dogs that are black produce all three colors and vice versa. You can have a yellow that can produce all the colors as well. So it depends on the genetic makeup of the dog. And usually, like in my research for breeding, I always try to find out what I'm putting together, so I know. Because I usually, like, there's a wait list for our puppies. So, you know, if I got people that are looking for yellows and I'm breeding and I'm only going to give blacks and chocolates, I'll know that in advance, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, blacks, you know, there are some people saying that there's a silver color now as well, but there's no such thing as silver.
Oh, all right.
It's blacks, yellows, and chocolates, and that's it.
Kind of color variations, but they are gorgeous.
Yeah.
Looking at the Labrador, now yours is gorgeous. She's a nice, solid dog. Almost reminds me of a football player's solid neck.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be different body styles.
Yes.
Correct me if there's an American style and an English style. So what is Keeper and how would you compare the two?
I always struggle with that question because for me, it's the breed standard. And you're inside the breed standard or outside. And you're right. People do have that belief that there is an American version and an English version. English version is considered stocky, lower on the legs, whereas the American version is taller on the legs, more slender.
Keeper says, I'm tired. Let's go.
More slender. And they're considered a field line.
Uh-huh.
I always say that I have the Canadian version, which is somewhere in between those two. Okay, but within the standard. So that's my view on it. Like,
she's setting the standard. She's not within the standard.
Yeah.
She's setting the standard.
True.
Yes. With a dog like this, she's not a giant, so she's considered a working dog, large breed dog,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
What's your longevity? Besides never long enough.
It's never long enough. 10 to 12 years is the average life expectancy. I've had labs for a few years, and my oldest one lived to be 14 and a half. And I've heard some instances where they lived to be 16 and 17. It's rare. But if you're getting to 13 or 14, you're on board time then.
Getting that senior citizen dog.
Exactly.
Health issues. So I know that all too common in Southern California, I see the lab walking through the door that is, they're saying it's, that field size, or it's the stocky size, it's just what it is, big bones, going, no, your dog is overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Besides weight issues that we all struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the issues for Labradors?
Okay, hips and elbow dysplasia is the two big things. So for me, it's we test to do their health clearances with regards to hips and elbow clearances, and that's all I breed to. So it doesn't mean that you're not going to get a dog with dysplastic hips or elbows. It just means that I'm lessening the chances. So that's the two big things. We also test for do clearances on the dog's eyes. We do optogen testing as well, which is another test that we do to check and see if the dog will develop blindness. I make sure that my dogs are all cleared on those as well. And every other day there's more testing coming down the pipes. Like now they're testing for a condition called EIC, which can happen in large breeds, but it has been cropping up in the
lab.
EIC is called,
EIC.
Exercise-induced collapse.
Yes.
So there's a blood test that you can do to see if your dog is a carrier and things like that. So, people are doing clearances on that now as well. So those are the main issues with Labradors. So, for me as a breeder, I know what I have with regards to my health clearances on the dogs. So I try to have as good or better than what I have at home right now.
And that's so important because so many times people see a dog such as Keeper going, oh,
I just have to have that dog. Yeah. They find it in on the internet, this dog that, gee, I could go to, you know, the top breeder, Tony, and get a dog that costs X number of dollars, and this one's half as much as that. Mm-hmm. How would you counsel people? What should they look for when they're looking for a breeder, looking for a dog?
Well, I think, you know, I would educate myself about the breed to start with and look and see what kind of help problems there are in the breed, which we just talked about. But I would, and I would ask the breeder that I'm going to, are you testing for these? And then try to find out some background where the parents are coming from and what health clearances they have done on those dogs. You look at their setup. You look at the life that the dog has right now. Like for me, I don't own a kennel per se. My dogs live in the house. So, you know.
And you have a couple dogs living in your house.
I have nine dogs at home right now. So, but they, I believe in that if you're going to be a breeder, I consider myself a hobby breeder. I think that you need to, the dogs have to be pets first, and my dogs are pets first. Everything else above is like gravy for me. So the dog showing, the breeding and all that. So I encourage people that, you know, do lots of research, ask questions, and if you don't want to go to a purebred reptile breeder, call someone like that to ask the questions that you should be asking from these people that are just doing it in what we call backyard breeding, okay? So it's just, you know, get some information from somebody who is reputable. Doesn't mean you get to buy from them, but at least educate yourself. So, and you can never ask enough questions.
Great. Tony, thank you so much. If somebody wanted to learn more about your dogs, do you have a website or someplace they can go?
Yes, I do. I have, it's landandsealabradors.com. That's our website.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. Gorgeous dog.
Thank you.
And continued best luck showing it.
Thank you.
Pets need our help to keep them healthy. After this short commercial pause, my guest, Dr. Heather Hillier, shares with us her views on caring for pets in St. John's and her very unique city.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radio root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
Hi, this is T.O.D. Anderson, and I'm the host of Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio. We're going to talk about a variety of topics on canine behavior and training, all based on modern methods that are fun for you and your dog. We might be talking about other critters, too. So join us on Get Positive Results. We'll talk about common issues between you and your dog, answer your questions, discuss different activities you can do with your dog, and keep you posted on current canine news and products. All this on Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Heather Hillier is a shelter veterinarian of St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada. She is acutely aware of the challenges facing the feline population of St. John's. Though not originally from this city, she'll tell us why she's become to embrace it as her own. So sit, stay, enjoy. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. I'm in St. John's, Newfoundland, Canada, and I'm here with my granddaughter, Lauren, and we'll be attending the Canadian Veterinary Medical Association's convention, and I happen to be here right now with the shelter medicine veterinarian for St. John's, Dr. Heather Hillier. Did I get all that right?
You did.
Oh, very good. So, Heather, tell me a little bit about what's your background. How did you come to St. John's? Because it is an area that is a little bit detached from Canada proper, and I know you're a Canadian.
Yes, so I actually grew up in Labrador, which is the mainland part of Newfoundland. So the province is Newfoundland and Labrador. So we are east of Quebec in Canada, in a very remote community. So I had to leave the community for education anyway. I did my veterinary medicine degree and my biology degree in PEI, which regionally for vet schools in Canada, you stick within your region.
And PEI, for those who don't know, is?
Yeah, Prince Edward Island.
Thank you.
Yes. So I spent 7 years in Prince Edward Island. And when I graduated, in trying to figure out where we wanted to live and work, essentially it was a decision to stay close to home. most Newfoundlanders end up in St. John's at some point or pass through. So we knew that our family coming on, like our parents, and my husband is from Labrador as well, coming on retirement age would probably hover around the island. So it was a family decision more so than anything else.
And having a shelter medicine veterinarian here, I know that's one of the fields of specialty now in the United States of shelter medicine. What are some of your challenges here?
Well, I am the first, so that's a challenge.
Big challenge.
It's good. I can pave my own way. There's nobody's boots to fill and no track that's already set. But it does provide some challenge as far as, you know, simple obstacles, networking. And a lot of my networking is more online or over the telephone. I don't have a colleague in the area to chat with in person. So networking has been a big part. And it's very new to me. It wasn't a field that I had really set my sights on. But in private practice, we had been working closely with the shelter for some time. So when they decided to hire a vet full-time, I was already very familiar with the staff and management and was really pleased with the direction that they were going in. So I was quite comfortable to step into that role.
What are some of the health challenges for the animals here?
Well, we deal with mainly the cat population is our biggest concern. Dogs, even though we do see a number of dogs through the shelter, to give you an idea, we probably in general deal with about four times more cats than dogs. So dealing with the diseases that face cats and their amazing reproductive abilities is our biggest challenge. So when dealing with the feline population in a building, your viruses, so feline leukemia and feline immunodeficiency virus, and our prevalence is quite low with both those diseases, thank goodness. Upper respiratory infections, those set of viruses that cause the snotty cats, is my biggest challenge. And that is a challenge in almost all shelter environments.
Do you find that, what are people trying to do now for the feline feral cat population? Is it the feral cats that are causing the problems here?
Yeah, so there's been an amazing push in general to deal with just recognizing the feral population as a unique population of cats that is more dealt with on private charity groups, and they have their own ways of kind of dealing with it and working with the vet community for spay-neuter programs. But it is kind of an emerging field in St. John's. I think it's excellent, but it is quite new.
If you hadn't gone into veterinary medicine, what would you have done?
So many things. My mom teased I would probably be a kindergarten teacher. And she does have a picture still on her framed at home of me when I was asked what I was going to do. Apparently that veterinary medicine was going to be my hobby and I was going to be a painter full time. So that didn't quite pan out. So I guess we flipped it around.
So you can still have your artistic lending and still do your veterinary medicine.
Exactly. And with a five-year-old, my kindergarten teacher comes out every now and then too.
I love it. If you had to tell somebody to come to Newfoundland, what would you recommend they see, do? What is so special about Newfoundland? What brought you here? You said, yes, it was family, but what else brought you here?
The province is so amazing. Just have to experience, it's like being transported back in time, really. It's, you know, I mean, St. John's is the oldest city in North America. So we have buildings, you know, built in the 1700s and 1800s. The way that it's laid out, although if you're driving, is a bit confusing. But there are, you know, really horse paths turned into roads in all directions. The culture, the music and the culture and the language, you won't get it out of me because I grew up in Labrador, but you should interview some
characters. My ears have been straining on something. It's like, what was that? I couldn't pick up that word. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, you know, I mean, we have a vibrant city and city life, and you move very, you know, 10 minutes outside and it's outport community, you know, old fishing villages that have now been turned into tourist spots. Our ingenuity, the fact that we can, you know, if one industry is not necessarily vibrant, we'll find another industry to work around. So that a culture and a spirit of can-do is just amazing. But for instance, we're at the Sheraton, just under the hill, so 5 minutes from here, about 2 kilometers, you get to the Kittivitty Village. And there are stages, so houses built on the end of wharves, essentially. And if you go down there on Friday night, there are people sitting on the wharf with accordions and fiddles and guitars, and just the whole community is just kind of chilling and playing music, and there's just a culture you can't beat here.
I can tell that you love it from the glint in your eye and the dimples in your cheeks. It sounds like this is an area I'm going to really enjoy.
discovering and exploring.
Yes, and of course, we can see Signal Hill from here. The whales are out, so the humpbacks move through this time of year with capelin. And they're an amazing species. They're curious, they're acrobatic. If you go out on a tour, it's like they're investigating. They're just as excited to see you as we are of them.
Look, another boat.
Spy hopping, they're playing with you. It's just that they put on a show every time. And of course, this year we've got more icebergs than we've had in a number of years moving through. And in this area, Northern Peninsula is quite used to them. Down around here, we don't get the number that we've seen this year. So icebergs and whales, it's like a tourist dream.
Ah, Dr. Hilliard, thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to my stay here in St. John's and in Newfoundland. Thank you so much for your time.
Not a problem.
You've been listening to The Pet Doctor. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Thanks for listening. I had a great time in Newfoundland, Canada. Hopefully you're enjoying listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more of my adventures in Canada. In the near future, we'll go back to our regular programming of how you can be the best possible pet owner. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.